Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, good morning. Move that out of the way so I don't trip over it. All righty. How many enjoyed the worship this morning? Amen. Awesome. Great job. We got such an awesome praise and worship team. We just thank God for them. Pastor Charlie and the worshipers, we just thank God for you. Thank God for you, too. How many know we all worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Amen. We're not to be entertained, but we are to enter in. Right? So we just thank God for a place that we have a freedom that we can enter into worship and not have to worry about guns and all this stuff going on. I want to talk to you this morning about the kingdom of God, okay? And how many know that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom? Amen. He didn't preach a religion. He didn't preach a tradition, but he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And I mean to know the gospel of the kingdom is not just words, but it's in power. Amen. So we just want to share today about the gospel of the kingdom. You know, I'm not here to try to get you stirred up. How many know that's the Holy Spirit's job? Amen. Amen. And so we're excited about what God is doing. How many know this is not a sad time for the church? Amen. We need to get deliriously happy. And I know people say, well, what is there to get happy about? How many know we don't fight from a position of defeat, but we fight from a position of victory? How many know Jesus Christ has already conquered death, hell, and the grave? Amen. And he's resurrected. And he said, all power is in my hand. And how many know when you hooked up with him, amen, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Amen. How many know we ain't got to worry about it because we know we win regardless of what take place. We are winners. Amen. So you got to encourage yourself. You got to let yourself know, you know, because how many know the flesh will try to get down sometimes. Go to seeing all the stuff that's going on in the world and just feel like, oh, Lord Jesus, here coming something else. But how many know we need to think on the good news? Amen. How many know that you are chosen? Amen. And you are blessed. Amen. And you are highly favored. Amen. You are the righteousness of God. Amen. You have been justified. You have been declared righteous. Amen. See, we got to begin to confess those things because that's who we are. Because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. I mean, you know, we got good stuff. Amen. You say, okay, here we go. But it's the truth. Amen. You know, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, so I mean, I'm excited about what God is doing. I mean, I'm excited for myself. You know, you say, oh, you're talking about yourself? Yes, I am. Yes. You know, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. You might see the outside. I'm living from the inside out. Amen. I'm not looking from the outside in. You know, because when you begin to look on the inside, how many know there is something greater? There's a greater peace. There's a greater joy. There's a greater it's great. Amen. You know, and we have to understand something, church. I'm going to get to my word here. But we have to understand something. And I'm coming to learn. I'm learning. Okay, say John is learning. I'm learning that just because I'm a born-again believer, a spirit-filled, don't exempt me from things happening. But what has happened, Jesus have gave us the good news and keys how to operate when things happen that we don't get down like the world. Amen? How many know that when we're in covenant with a true and living God? Amen? And because we are in covenant with him, guess what? He got our back, the front, and the side, and all around us. Amen. So we don't have to fear. Why? Because we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. See, we got to begin to experience these things because God has given them to us so that when things happen, we know where to go to and we know who has the answer. Amen. I'm not getting down because the world is I'm getting up. I don't know about you, but I'm getting up. Amen. And I want to exalt you today and let you know that you can get up. Amen. You ought to already be up. You know why? Because when he got up, we got up. Oh, yes, sir. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. How many know his faith is for me? Amen. He's not against me. He's for us. And the Bible said, if God be for us, who can? Who that trying to be against me? Amen. I'm telling you, we got something on the inside of us, saints, that will make a sad man start laughing. And make a man cry when ain't nothing wrong. I said, okay. But I'm telling you, these are exciting times. Amen. And I want to pray, you know, continue to pray for Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda. You know, I'm believing God to complete this healing in his body. Amen. Because he's a valuable part to the body of Christ. Awesome teacher. Amen. And we need to lift him up and pray him through. Amen. You know, because we need that teaching word. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord. We pray for complete healing in Pastor Terry's body. We pray peace over him and Miss Brenda today. And, Lord, we lift up Tina today, Lord, that this bronchitis, Lord, God, you're able to heal her and deliver her from it, Lord. And, God, we just lift her up to you, Father. And, God, we thank you for the ones that are here today. And, Lord, we thank you for your word, Father. And, Lord, we pray, God, that you would just let your word go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. God, that it will bring conception in the womb of our spirits, Lord, and bring forth the life that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, let's turn our Bibles to St. Matthew's, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. If you will, we'll go there and we're going to start reading. And I told you what I'm going to talk about, right? Thank you. Okay. And we're going to find out some things. How many know we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, according to Colossians? I think that's what the, I think it's in Colossians 2 and 16, 13, somewhere in there, but it's in there, amen. How many know that to be translated don't mean that being transformed? Translated means that you've been put in one place, you were in one place, but now you have been placed in another place. And you've been placed into the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's what we want to talk about, because I think what we have to understand, and I'm not trying to come against anybody's preaching or teaching or any of that. How many know all the preaching and teaching that God's men and women are doing is great? Okay. But I believe sometimes we miss the point because, you know, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what we should be preaching and teaching, the gospel of the kingdom. See, the gospel of the kingdom is not a religion. It's not a religion, but it's out of a relationship. It's rulership based on relationship. See, and I know people in this day and time don't like to hear nothing about rules. But how many know there's a rule that we all must follow? And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? See, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that what? Believeth. See, and many a times, how many know when you look at the word of God, we think, well, it's about doom and gloom, but how many know the word of God, the Bible, is the good news? it's almost so good it's hard to believe it, isn't it? This is too good to be true. You got to do something. I mean, you know, you ain't got to do nothing but believe. Just simply believe. But see, the Bible said, how can they believe without a preacher or teacher? And how can they preach or teach except they be sent? See, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring what? Good news or good tidings. See, and what we have to understand, the good news is this, that Jesus have did all the work, and now all we need to do is hook up with him and go on for the ride. You mean I don't have to do anything? Nothing but believe. But I didn't say things would come against you, right? But you got to keep believing. See, things are going to happen. Just because we believe don't mean that we are exempt from trials, tribulation, testings, temptations, worration, disappointments, and all these things. It don't take away that, but it help us to begin to channel through those things victorious through Christ. Amen? All right. So in Matthew chapter 4, it says, For that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. Now, that word repent there, I know that most people think, well, repent means to just change a direction. It does mean that, but it goes a little bit deeper. It really means to change the way you think. To change the way you think. And see, we are people that seem like, you know, we're going to think this thing long enough, we'll make it act right. But how many know it won't happen? You are what you think. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what Jesus came to do, the first thing he said, repent. In other words, change the way you think. Change the way you think. Okay? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is within arm reach. You can just reach out and grab it. You can reach out and get it. It's within arm reach. See, he don't want you to just change your mind, but he wants you to take hold of something after you've changed your mind. And that's the kingdom. Okay? Another scripture is in, let me finish this one. He says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. Now, see, how many know we can repent, change our minds, amen, and we can embrace the kingdom, but how many know there's a pattern we must follow? See, to follow means to have fellowship or to have koinonia with that person or to follow the path of that person. Or listen at this, or follow the teachings of that person. See, to follow him means that I follow his teachings. Now, at this time, how many know they were following their teacher? But now that we have the Word of God, the teachings of Christ, this is why it's so important that we understand the gospel from a religion. See, this is not a religious book. It is a kingdom book. And remember when Jesus told, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air, you know. And he said, let them rule over it. And you will see it's the same word for kingdom. And the Bible said Jesus came seeking that which was lost. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, hey, you know, we were sinners, we were lost. But how many know Jesus came to restore a kingdom? He came to restore a kingdom because Adam lost the kingdom. And with him losing the kingdom, he also brought sin into the world. He also brought what? Death into the world because of his disobedience. But how many know there is a second Adam? that has come to restore the kingdom. And that's what he's telling them here. He said, look, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on there, he saw other two disciples, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee's and their father, mending their nets. And he called them immediately, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. See, how many know you're going to have to leave something to follow him? You're going to have to give up that old lifestyle to embrace the new lifestyle and begin to follow him. And see, when we begin to follow him, how many know that we're not following a religion or a tradition, but we're following him through relationship? Notice it's rulership based on relationship. See, and you can't know a person if you don't hang out with them and get to know them. But the more you hang out with them, the better you're going to know them. You know, it's almost like a husband and wife. I got to be careful with that. Because, and Paul used the illustration. Why did you use this one, Paul? But he used the illustration as a married couple. You know, how a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. You know, but what he was really talking about, you know, how that we should love him in a way that we don't let anything separate us from loving Christ and following his teachings. See, and his teachings are not religion. It is relationship. It's relationship. See, when we are in relationship with Christ, see, when we go through, guess who go through with us? He does. See, have you ever had a big brother or a big sister and, you know, you know these bullies was bullying you, but then all of a sudden big brother came along with you that day and you got a little bit air in your chest, so to speak. Why? Because you had big brother with you, right? Well, that's the way we ought to be, because we got big brother with us. He's in us. Amen. And see, when we follow the teachings of Christ, his teachings are going to set us free from condemnation, guilt, and shame. That's what the truth is for, is to set us free. Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, that word know there means to experience, and it also means to become one with the one that you are known, or the one that's known. See, and when we become one with that truth makes us free. See, and the word make is a process. As we begin to learn truths, as we begin to be taught the word of God and we learn truths, truth begin to set us free. See, and it's a process. It's not a one-shot deal. How many know, I wish it was a one-shot deal. Boom, you got it, and let's go. But how many know, it is a process. Why? Because there are certain things that he's going to work out of our lives. And it is a process. And this is why, the same way it was with the children of Israel, how many know that it was a process? He said, little by little, he's revealing these things, or he's transforming these things, or he's taking these things out of them. And what we have to understand, that God is at work in us, and it is a good work. Paul said, I am confident of this very thing, he which have begun, notice what he said, he which have begun a good work will complete or perfect that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, it's God working in me, causing me to do the things that his word is telling me to do. It is not a religion, it is a relationship. See, I'm not going through formulas through legalism to get this. It's getting in the Word of God and letting the Word of God get in me and begin to receive from God the truth of the gospel and let that truth begin to make me free. See, I build on the Word of God. Why? Because He is the Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. So He came to restore the kingdom. And so many a times, you know, we people say, well, just fake it till you make it. Honey, I'm not going to fake anything. He's too real of a God for me to try to fake it. How many know? He said, I already know what's in your heart. Just be real with Him. Let's be 100% real. Why? Because when we're real with Him, He'll get real with us. But see, when you try to fake it and do all these rituals and go through the aerobics and all this Christiana, all this stuff, how many know? He said, They mouth saying a whole lot, but they heart is so far from me. See, He's looking at the heart. And that's why we have to be real. Amen. How many know? He knows my shortcomings. Amen. He knows when I get upset. He knows when I have a tantrum. And, oh, Jesus. You know, and he don't just pat me. He said, come on now, son. Come on. But we follow Him, and we're following His teachings. Okay? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, that word believe means to trust, to rely upon. And how many know sometimes it's not so easy to trust? But the more you know of Him, the easier to get. See, and the more you trust Him as your God and you begin to learn how big and how awesome your God is, I mean, you know, your faith begins to be awesome. See, a lot of people are trying to figure this thing out in their intellect, and how many know it ain't going to work? It takes the Holy Spirit to interpret the Scriptures. That's why Jesus said it's foolish to the natural mind. Amen? So what we're talking about here, he said, believe the gospel. See, we got to start believing what the gospel says and obey the gospel. Not out of religious form or legalism or I'm dressing up the outside. No, it's an inward work. It's an inward work. And you're going to see this in just a little bit because we're going to get there, okay? But he came to restore a kingdom, and when he did that, how many know that he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son? Look at your neighbor and say, I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and to the kingdom of God's son. Now I must learn how this new kingdom operates. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn how it operates and who operates it. Right? Okay, let's find out. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth and universe. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is God. The kingdom of God is His extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth and universe. What does that mean? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything He owns. Well, how did He own? How does He own everything? When He came and walked this earth and was led by the Holy Spirit, and he conquered every test the devil brought to his attention until the day he entered Gethsemane. And he began to pray. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And when he conquered that garden and he went on to the cross and he hung on the cross, amen, for you and I, he satisfied the demand of God, because how many know that he satisfied the wrath of God that we deserved, but he took it upon himself. And how many know God ain't mad at us no more. He's not our enemy anymore. He has conquered. He went into the grave. See, had he just hung on the cross, had they just left him alone and just let him keep on healing the sick, raising the dead, we wouldn't have had redemption. But because he went, one scripture even says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. But really, Satan shot himself in the foot. Let you know, he don't know everything. Because had he'd have been a smart devil, he'd have said, "Boys, just leave him alone. Just let him do what he's going to do. Leave him alone." But see, he thought, well, you know, here, I'm going to make an offer to him. You know, it worked in the garden. Maybe it'll work in this one. But a new sheriff is in town. Amen. He came to him. He said, "Look, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceed out of the mouth of God." He took him a little further. He said, "You know, cast yourself down." Took him a little further. He said, "Look, I give you all the kingdoms if you would just bow down and worship me." See, what Satan want to do is have somebody to worship him. But how many know his days are over? His days are over. What do you mean his days are over? How many know that he was a good worshiper? He was chose to be a worshiper. And do you know that he don't have a place in God anymore, but we do? And guess what? When he see us worshiping and living for God, it upsets him. Why? Because it reminds him of where he once was. And it reminds him that you'll never get back there, Satan. But how many know God gave it to us? Amen. And Satan said, "I give you the kingdoms of the world if you would just bow down." And Jesus said, "No, only God. He's the only God that we should worship and serve." Because Jesus knew, my time is coming. I'm going to have it all anyway. So you need to wise up and say, "Hey, I can't allow the enemy to bamboozle me and trick me into saying, turning my back on God. He's too good." And man, when you think about the goodness of Jesus, and one song said, "When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen." So when the kingdom of God is the extension of God's rule and dominion in the earth and universe, okay? It is the territory or era over which a king rules and reigns. It is the king domain. Webster adds, "The kingdom is an era or sphere in which one holds a permanent position." He also notes that a domain is a territory over which dominion is exercised. See, God want to rule what? Our lives. We have to allow him to rule our lives. And how many know when we allow him to rule our lives, guess what we get to do? Enjoy the ride. That's why he said, "Come unto me and take my what? Yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, We don't have to carry these old heavy burdens. Why? Because Jesus' burden is light. But the key to that is, he said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me." See, learn from him. when we read the Bible, how many know we're learning from him? Jesus, how did you do that? Read it. How did you do that, Lord? Read it. See, and we learn from him. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. And then he went a little further, you know, and when we find rest, how many know rest don't mean to cease to exist, but it means that you got peace of mind in the midst of whatever you're going through. That's why Jesus, Pastor Terry Wilson was sharing about, that's why he could say, peace, be still. Why? Because peace was in him. And see, when we begin to learn to operate in kingdom living and kingdom life, peace is in us. You say, what do you see that at right here? The third one is the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, it's in you by the Spirit of God. I think it's in Luke chapter 17, verse 21. It says, for the kingdom come not with observation, but the kingdom is within you. When you became born again, the kingdom came in. See, the ruler is in you, but we got to let him rule and reign in us. See, well, when I get to heaven, he'll, no, it's now. See, the kingdom is a reality, a present reality of now. When I get to heaven, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I ain't got to worry about the devil no more. But I need it now. See, and this is what's so good about God is that he gave us is his righteousness. And his righteousness is this, being in right standing with the king. If you know anything about kingship, when you're in right standing with the king, how many know, oh, you got favor. See, what the king have, you got. So is the kingdom is righteousness. We're in right standing with him. But let me tell you another thing about righteousness. Is his right on your life? What you mean, his right? You know you didn't pay for your salvation, he did. The Bible said he paid the price. You have been bought. You have been redeemed. Amen? You are not your own anymore. You belong to him. See, and the quicker we realize that I belong to him, and he's got my back, he's got my side, he's got all around me, we'll quit living in fear and in intimidation and realize, hey, if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen? So he's saying that the kingdom is God's rule. You know, it's the king rule and domain. But guess what? It is what? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is wherever Jesus of Nazareth is Lord and King. Remember, Jesus was teaching, and he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? See, we call him Lord, but is he really your Lord? Is he really your... See, that Lord can also mean master, boss. You know, and I mean to know, when you're on a physical job, you respect that boss to some degree because you know you got a paycheck coming, right? Oh, come on now. I know you do. Oh, yeah, I got to act right. Boss, or he's around. But, man, I got to do this job right. But how many know we do the job right? When you're operating in the kingdom, you're not trying to please man, but you're pleasing God. And you don't have a person to watch over you. You do it because it's the right thing to do. That's the integrity that we have with our God. We're not trying to fake it and make it and all these things. But how many know there is a lifestyle to be lived with this kingdom? Amen. Rulership with what? Relationship. Okay? It is the purpose and will, desired pleasure of God, the extension of God's rule. It is a theocracy, a government that is God-ruled. I'm glad to put God's government. How many know that we're citizens of heaven? And when you are citizens of the kingdom, guess whose responsibility it is to take care of you? The King. Oh, man. The King. And do you not know that the King owns it all? And because I'm in relationship with the King and I'm in his government, how many know there is a natural government of the United States, right? And we respect that, but how many know because we are citizens of the United States, we have what? Rights and privileges and benefits. And because we're in the government of God, we have benefits. The Bible said, forget not all his benefits. I got benefits in the kingdom of God. See, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm not of this system. I'm in the system of the kingdom, and guess what? In the system of the kingdom, the economy is not going bad. It's expanding. The angels are not on welfare. They're waiting for the word of God to come out of our mouth so they can beckon to the word of God and begin to go to war for us. See, and that's why the enemy wants us to be silent. But the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are you saying? I'm aligning myself with the kingdom. I'm saying what God says. I can do what God says I can do. I am who God says I am. I am that I am by the grace of God. It is a government that is God-ruled. See, we're this world, how many know this world is controlled, really, you know, and this is not nothing spooky, but how many know that the world is controlled by selfishness, evilness? The Bible said all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is not of God. And Paul even told us, he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. What am I renewing my mind with? The teachings of Jesus. Not the Mosaic law, because some people are like, well, you know, we got to do the whole Bible. How many know we're not under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ has set us all free. Why? Because he shedded his blood for the new covenant, and we operate under the new covenant. And under that new covenant, how many know we have a high priest, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you, listen to this, when the priesthood is changed, how many know the rules are changed? So we're under the rules of the kingdom. So if we talked about that and we shared with you about the kingdom, now we're going to go into Matthew chapter 5. Because Matthew chapter 5, and what I'm learning is this, Jesus Christ has paid for me to be free from sin. Sin is not the problem. The problem is do we want to renew our minds to begin to come in alignment with the kingdom? And this is where Jesus begins to teach the kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7 is sort of the main characteristics of the kingdom. And I know that this is people think, well, you know, ain't the whole Bible the kingdom. But this is where Jesus began to teach about kingdom living, the characteristics of the kingdom. The word blessed, what it means is to possess the characteristics of a deity. It indicates the state of a believer in Christ. You know, and some people take, you know, see, we got to understand something, church, is this. Every time we think of blessings, we think of material. You know, when, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, and that's good. That's fine. But the word blessed don't always indicate something material. See, and that's where we get confused sometimes. We think, well, if God is not blessing me, why should I serve him? I serve him because I love him, not because what I can get out of him. I like to say it like this, and I know this might not go over good, but he's not a Sears and Roebuck catalog. You know, we used to get them catalogs around Christmas. Oh, you telling your age now, buddy. You know, you get them sitting, oh, I know what I want for Christmas. That bicycle got that banana seat and all them fun. That's what I want. But how many know he's not like that? He's not like that. We don't get to just pick and choose. See, he chose us. And see, and when he blessed us, what we're blessed with is that we have the presence of God on the inside of us. See, and sure, we can get things, but how many know we don't need to let things get us? But Jesus fixed it this way. He said, but listen here, Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You know, I quit living trying to get things, and I want to seek the kingdom. I'd rather for them to be added to me instead of have to work all my life trying to get things. Jesus made it so simple and plain. Just seek the kingdom. Seek my way of doing things, John, and watch what I do for you. I'm telling you, you're too late to tell me it don't work. I've been bamboozled. I've been brainwashed. It does work. I'm telling you, he adds it to us when we align ourselves with the kingdom. I'm not doing it to get anything, but guess what? I'm doing it out of obedience when I seek his kingdom. What I'm saying is this, I want you to rule my life, amen? I want you to rule my temple. I want you to rule my mouth and my mind, Lord. I want you to rule me. And when I begin to surrender, see, it's not so much our perfection, but it's how much do we want to surrender? Because we can work trying to perfect it and just wear ourselves out. But when we begin to surrender to him, how many know he begins to add? He just adds to us. And you know what? I'd much rather just seek his kingdom and let it be added. See, you mean I'm going to get a Cadillac tomorrow? No. You might get some peace tomorrow. You might get a good dose of joy tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, okay? It's nothing, I'm telling you, it is nothing that you can, I mean, you cannot pay for this. I'm telling you, to get up in the morning and just say, thank you, Jesus, and then all of a sudden his presence cover you. You get up and get on your face, God, I thank you for another day, Lord. God, what are we going to do today? Hallelujah, I can't wait. You say, yeah, you say that, but I bet you get up, drag. No, honey, them days over. I know who my maker is. Amen. I know how to get out of bed being thankful. I mean, you know, a grateful heart goes a long way. You got to understand something. Yeah, I can get down and cry and moan and groan, but how many know, what do it do for me? Not a thing. And guess what? Just time wasted. You could have been praising God. How many know, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Amen. Because you know in the win, in the end, you're going to win. You ain't got to wait till it's over. Just start praising him. Why? Because of the kingdom. Because I got a king. Amen. Okay. Notice it says that blessed. It is the indwelled. He is indwelled by the power of God because of Christ. As a result, he is fully satisfied. How many of y'all are satisfied with Jesus? Come on, be honest. You satisfied. See, you had to grow to that place because I hadn't always been satisfied with Jesus. I get upset with God. How come you ain't blessing me with this? How come you ain't blessing me with that? And I had to realize, am I just serving him for what I can get? Yes, I was. But now that I've grown and I realize, how many know we don't serve him for what we can get? We serve him because we love him. And because I love him and he loved me, see, he's already proven his love for me. But what am I doing to prove my love to him? See, its results is fully satisfied with Christ. To be blessed is equivalent to having God's kingdom within one's heart. That's in Luke 17:21. The believer's satisfaction comes from God and not from the world. Your satisfaction. See, how many know, if we be honest, we tried a lot of things because we thought it would satisfy us. Can I tell you some good news? May I tell you some good news? The flesh will never be satisfied. You give him what he wants today, he's going to want something else different tomorrow. You give him that, he's going to want something else different the next day. So what you got to do is begin to discipline your flesh and say, no, flesh, you're not getting what you want. You're getting what you need, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what you're going to get. Why? Because I was created for him. The world had me blind and crazy and thought all these things that I was trying to do to find fulfillment, and I still find myself empty and void because the void that we have, only God can fill. Only God. And when you get in right relationship with him and you begin to enjoy that relationship, I'm telling you, you'll be so satisfied, you'll be getting up and you'll be saying, I don't even know why I'm saying it. I don't even feel like doing this, but I know that I need to do it. Why? Because my praise will bless my God and my God will in turn bless me. So with that, got about 2 more hours? No, just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, Lordy. I had to say that. Okay. Now, you know we got the man shall not live, but we're now. But Matthew's 5, and I'm just give you a few things in Matthew's 5, and then we're going to close, okay? He says, Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That word poor does not mean poverty. What it means is that their dependency is not on themselves, but it's on God. I'm poor in spirit, but my dependency, my reliance is on him. See, it's really a humbling statement saying, I'm poor in spirit. I need God. I can't do it without him. I got to have his touch. I got to have his presence. I got to have the revelation of who he is. I got to have his wisdom. I got to have it. I got to have his faith. I got to have his righteousness. Why? Because I'm poor and I'm dependent upon him. Somebody asked me a question years ago, And they asked me and they said, do you really depend on God for everything? I said, yeah, I have to. He said, why? I said, because I'm not smart. And he said, what? What'd you say? I said, because I'm not smart enough to do all this stuff. I need God. Amen. He said, come on, man. I know you don't need him. I know you need him, but not for everything. I said, for everything. I know this boy right here. I need him for everything. Amen? I need him for everything. You know, as a desert need the rain, I need him for everything. You said, you can't. I know. I've learned I can't do it alone. I can't do it without him. I need him. I need him. Every minute, every hour, every second of the day, I need him. I need him. Because you know why? Every time I mess up is when I quit acknowledging him. But as long as I acknowledge him, the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Say, we need him. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do and what I hear him say. I can only do those things. And Jesus was dependent on the Father. Why? You said, well, he was God. Yes, he was. But how many know he didn't operate as God when he walked the earth? He operated as a son of God. And he showed us how to live a life when we'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And how many know the Holy Spirit will not go contrary to the book? That's what I love about him. He will always point me back to Scripture. Now, he's got many ways that he can communicate to us, dreams, visions, prophetic words. I'm not isolating just to the Word. How many know sometimes he speaks to us, it's not in the Word of God. If I had enough time, I'd tell you a story, but I don't have enough time. But I think I'd tell you a little bit of it anyway. How to fix a lawnmower is not in here. How to operate computers is not in here. And I was scared to death of a computer until one day I was in my office and I heard the Holy Spirit said, you can do this. And I was working on a lawnmower, didn't have no clue how to fix that gear on that thing. And I just the one thought hit me and said, just turn, take that bolt out down there, you know. And what it was, the bolt had slipped, and I didn't even know it. And I just heard, take that bolt out and replace it. Amen. How many know that was God? Amen. That was a word of what? Knowledge. Because I had no idea how to fix that. You say, you mean God will do that? Oh, yeah, he'll do even more. Oh, yeah. But how many know the Word confirms these things? Because the Word said that he'll show us things to come. Amen? Now, don't go getting suspicious now. Don't do that. How many know? Stay with the Holy Ghost. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you one more. It says, blessed are those who mourn, are those who are grieving, for they will be what? Comfort. See, the blessed is what? It's the possession. It's God's rule and reign. See, he's teaching us here that we're blessed because of him. We're satisfied because of him. Okay? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. Are you hungry for right things? Are you going to stand up for what's right? Are you hungry to please him? God, I just want to do the right thing. I want to stand for justice and righteousness. I don't want you to pat me on the back, well, you think you need faith. No, I just want justice and righteousness. Amen. Why? Because that's what his throne is built on. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now watch this. How many of y'all have not been merciful before? And what happened?
I didn't receive mercy.
You didn't receive mercy. And you said, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get behind. No, it ain't the devil. Uh-uh. It's because you wasn't merciful. And now it come back around, and they ain't been merciful to you. Now y'all messing with God's child. Satan, get behind me. How many know? Nope, it ain't Satan that's resisting you. It's God. Because when you sow mercy, you reap mercy. See, that's the way the kingdom is. If you want joy, if you want peace, give somebody some peace. Well, you think, no, don't use it as a launch pad, a diving pad, you know. Well, I'm going to do this so I can get this. No, you do it because that's the character of God in you. To be merciful to people. So the next time they get try to take my parking place. You see how we work? My parking place. What did you pay for it, John? My taxes paid for it. No. Be merciful. You know, and these principles will work because I did this one time and I didn't even do it. I wasn't thinking. I was just praising and worshiping God, and this woman wanted this parking place. I wanted it too. I said, oh, just go ahead and take it. Because when we worship and praise God, how many know we're in an atmosphere that we get generously. Just go ahead and take the parking place. I get another one, you know, and I grab around. Hey, I'm just right in front of her. I said, oh, look at God. Amen. So we are blessed, and the kingdom is on the inside of us to rule us. How many know that his rule is not a bunch of religious stuff? Okay? I told you what the rule is. It is his rule. It's his dominion. Amen? So when we came to him, we entered into a kingdom, and that kingdom is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So listen, don't say, well, I don't have no joy. Yes, you do. Get you some praise music on and go to worshiping God and just say, spring up, oh well, within my soul. And watch what happens. Why? Because you're practicing the presence of God. Thank Brother Lawrence for writing that book, practicing the presence of God. And guess what? You don't even have to be in church. My anointed sermons is when I'm by myself. Me and Jesus is going on, and hallelujah, glory to God. I'm slobbing and throwing spit, just praising God. And they pull up, what's wrong with him over there? Oh, just praising God. Amen. I mean, you know, that's just how good he is. Amen. Praise God, you know, and we can just practice it anywhere because he's in us. Well, you know, I got to get them to hit them chords, you know. But how many know, I love it when they hit the chords. But you know what? I'm ready before they ever hit the chord. Man, I've been worshiping all along. I'm ready to get with the community now. Let's throw down. Amen. Amen. How many know, we all anointed now. Let's get in this thing. Amen. But see, he's in you, and he's for you. He's not against you. Amen? He's a good God. All he's wanting us to do is just surrender. Just surrender. Watch what I do for you. Amen? Okay. In closing, I'm closing for sure. Is there anybody here that don't know Jesus Christ? You haven't made him the Lord of your life. Anybody? Because how many know this right here happens when you're born again? And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He came to him and he said, look, how do you do this stuff you do, man? I mean, you know, you're a scribe, you're a teacher, and you don't know these things? You know, you hadn't read the prophets and what they said about me, Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. What was he saying? You must be born from above. Because you cannot see, you can't even comprehend these things if you're not born again. And I'm not saying that to be ugly, but that's the truth. Amen? Why? Because when you get his spirit on the inside of you, then you begin to experience him. Amen? All right, we all safe? Okay. So y'all know what the kingdom is. Is he going to rule and reign in your life? Let's stand. Amen. Appreciate your attendance, just hanging out with me this morning. I know the word is always good, amen? And how many know that we just don't pick and choose who's in the whole book, amen? So, Father, we thank you so much for your word today, Lord. And, God, we just give you the praise and the glory for everything that has taken place. And, Lord, we pray, God, that we will experience your kingdom, Lord God, more than the kingdoms of this world, Father. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus as we depart from this place, never your presence. We ask you to seal the word today, God. And God, help us, Lord, to go forth and meditate on what your word is saying, Father. And God, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.